4-3-6. Well done.
Kansas City Chiefs select D4.
I want to be a Chief forever.
Hello and welcome to the draft edition of Chiefs Blueprint. I'm your host, Pete Sweeney, and this is Chiefs reporter BJ Kissel. It's been a whirlwind of a few days, but tonight on Blueprint, we're taking a few steps back to Thursday night and heading inside the draft room during day one. Later on, the experts will take a look at the 2014 season of Jamaal Charles and his record-breaking career as a whole. But before all that, we give you a chance to hear from General Manager John Dorsey, who just capped off his third draft with the Chiefs.
And it was an exciting draft. And I know that a lot of the focus is always on the first round, because those are the players that most fans are the most familiar with. But you have to look at those undrafted free agents, those late round picks. And I know last year we had four undrafted free agents that really made an impact, and three of those guys were rookies. You're looking at kicker Cairo Santos, defensive back, special teams ace, and Daniel Sorensen, and then receiver Albert Wilson. And you also have to look at Ron Parker, who wasn't a rookie, but came in as an undrafted free agent, really made a mark for himself last year, got the extension this year. And then you look at the Chiefs franchise history, and they have nine guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pete, two of those guys were undrafted free agents, and kicker Jan Stenerud and defensive back Emmett Thomas, who's currently the Chiefs defensive backs coach. But you look at how a team is built. It's not just the first round pick. That's the one everybody gets excited about. But you look at John Dorsey, Andy Reid. Those guys have a history. We saw it last year of developing later round picks, undrafted free agents. And with the crop they've got this year, we hope to see that again.
No doubt. The voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, sat down with the GM immediately following the draft's first round. Here's that conversation.
John, why Marcus Peters with the 18th pick of this draft?
Well, I could just say he's the best player available, but it's deeper than that. It just so happened that he was a position of need. He truly was the highest rated player on our board at the time of selection. He's got incredible on-the-field talents. He plays the game that I feel corners should play. He's aggressive in his press man. He's got a really good instinctive feel for finding the ball. I think indication would be, let's say he started 34 games. I think he has 11 interceptions. He's got really nice ball skills down the field. I like the way he attacks the receiver when they're run blocking him. He shuts him and tries to enforce the corner. Yeah, he's competitive. He's prideful. You don't want to take that away from it. You want to channel it a little bit, but he's got those things that the good ones have. He wants to be really good and great, and he's competitive. That's half the battle right there. So now, all of a sudden, you got a Hall of Famer, you got an All-Pro as your coaches. You got Bob Sutton, and you got Andy Reid leading you. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I want to ask you about his background. Oakland kid,
very
successful in high school, coached by his dad. When you guys did your due diligence on him, what did you find out about his background?
Very close family. Very close community support within the West Oakland area. I believe his dad is a head high school coach. His mom is a director at the YMCA. He's very close with his, you know, the people within that community. I believe there's only 400 people left that attend the high school that he attended. You know what? We did our due diligence. We sent out Chris Ballard to go see what his environment was like, see what the neighborhood was like, meet his parents, meet his siblings. Just meet him in his natural environment. And we came back with really good reports, very good reports. And like I say, you know, this is not a malicious kid. This is it's a very competitive and spirited kid. But when you have you have leaders in our locker room that we have, that's what year three is all about. That's the growing transition. Those veterans set that bar mighty high. So those young guys, you come up here, we'll teach you how to be professionals, but you got to be all on board. And I think he will be.
You mentioned his ball skills. Let's be honest. We won 9 games last year with 6 interceptions. It was the lowest in franchise history. It's hard to do. But this kid, and the DBs you had in Green Bay, I mean, the Woodsons and Al Harris, what does he do potentially for your defense and his ability to take it away and maybe create either field position or scoring play?
Create turnovers. I mean, that's a game changer. We got to create some turnovers. That's going to happen there. Okay, catch the ball. He's going to do that. Force fumbles. He can do that.
Got
to ask you, though. I mean, the question. Ahead. Here we go. He did not finish the season at the University of Washington.
That's where your due diligence comes into play. You know, in the term nowadays, vet, we vetted him thoroughly, as well as anybody we've done. We probably talked to well over 20 people. We talked to seven of his teammates. They love him. They love the guy. They love his intensity. They know he's a player. And then you talk to the old staff and the new staff. We actually have a person on our staff, Will Lewis, the director of pro personnel. His son plays with him. We've got a lot of people that know this young man.
Final question. It deals now at the end of these 72 hours, because we talk about this all the time. You got Marcus, now he's in the fold. But when you're at the end of all this, for you to feel good, not only about Marcus, but this whole class, what has to happen?
This class needs to come in here and understand where we've been the last 2 years, what this organization is all about, where we are going to travel to. These young men have to understand that we are the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're going to do it the Chiefs way. And we're all in this thing together. Just roll your sleeves up and let's roll.
Not many open field runners like Jamal Charles.
Counter pitch, left it goes to Charles at the 40, gets a downfield block at the 30, 25, 20. Angling back, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City.
They've got all kinds of room with Charles. What a move to the end zone, Jamal Charles.
Going to bounce it outside, gets across the 40 and breaks free. He's at the 40, the Cardinals, goodbye. Jamal Charles busts a long run.
When he is right, he is so good.
Angling for the far pylon, he's got a touchdown. Kansas City!
Welcome back to Chiefs Blueprint. BJ, I mentioned a player drafted in 2008 who has become a major part of the Chiefs' history before the break. I think we all know that I'm talking about the Chiefs' current starting running back, Jamal Charles. It's hard to even imagine this, but he's already about to enter his eighth NFL season with the Chiefs. It's one where he's coming off another impressive year.
Yeah, you look back at those 8 years, and I always like to look at how Jamal Charles ended up as a Kansas City Chief, because it's one of the better trades in Chiefs history that sent defensive lineman Jared Allen to the Minnesota Vikings. We got the number 17 pick in that 08 draft and got a couple of third-rounders. We used that number 17 pick on left tackle Brandon Albert, and one of those third-round picks we used on Jamal Charles. And when you talk about Jamal Charles, you have to talk about the toughness, as our guy Mitch Holthus would say, that Port Arthur toughness. And that shows up not just from watching him out on the field, but on the stat sheet, too. Pro Football Focus had him at 2.6 yards after contact. And you look at the company that he is with in that top five in the NFL in that stat, you're looking at guys like Marshawn Lynch, Jeremy Hill, Eddie Lacy. Those guys are 230, 240 pounds. Jamal Charles is doing that at 200 pounds. I mean, we know his breakaway speed, what he can do out in space, but it's that toughness. One play that's indicative of that toughness that everybody uses to describe Jamal Charles was, it was kind of poetic, that 16-yard touchdown against the San Diego Chargers down in San Diego became the Chiefs' all-time leading rusher. When I think of Jamal Charles, I'm always going to think of that play.
I love it how he just batters into the end zone. That moment was one of my favorite highlights of 2014. What's amazing about Charles is his years are frequently filled with highlights like that, as he's one of the game's finest at his position.
I think Jamal is to the point where you think of him as one of the best three or four running backs in the league.
There's no doubt he's the most valuable player on this team, and it's because of his versatility. It's because of his toughness. You know, he is there game in, game out.
Jamal's not going to take a playoff.
Jamal Charles continues to punch away.
I know he's going to give everything that he has.
If you use hindsight when it comes to expectations for Jamal, they probably would have been, you know, less than what he was able to achieve.
He is the complete package as a running back, and there aren't many guys really left in the NFL that can carry the load and really handle any down or distance from the running back position.
What a finish by Jamal Charles at pay dirt.
It was a strange season for him in some ways.
Hand off Charles again, trying to find a hole.
Wasn't the 2013 season that he had, but he was still the centerpiece of that offense.
Inside the five, Charles drags two Raiders into the end zone. Reaching out, helicopters across the goal line. Touchdown!
Touchdown!
Touchdown! Kansas City by the Chiefs' all-time leading rusher.
People talk about his yards per carry being down, and they were down to 5 yards per carry, which is still better than most guys will have even in their best season, let alone some guys even their best game.
Why, D.D.? Why, D.D.?
Charles with the run, 35, 30, breaks it to the right, 25, 20, gets a downfield block, inside the 10, 5, touchdown! Woo! Kansas City, a 30.
Sweet run, bro. He hit that so hard. Hey, he hit that so hard. Woo!
He's just so elusive, and that's my favorite part of him. It's not him outrunning guys. It's just the fact that he's got two or three guys around him, and somehow he gets through a little tiny window.
I don't know that there's anybody that's better in the league at handling what is the broken play than Jamaal Charles.
Turning something that should be a two-yard loss into a six-yard gain, or catching a pass in the flat, and it, you know, for most running backs, it would go for 4 yards, 5 yards, and he takes it for 15 because he makes the first guy miss.
Not many open field runners like Jamaal Charles. He is electrifying, fun to watch.
That, to me, has always been sort of Jamal's brilliance, is in those little moments that he gets 6 yards longer out of the play than he probably should.
You do not expect a 199-pound back to run with that type of authority. That's why he rang up 19 touchdowns last year with that kind of effort.
There you go, 2-5! There you go, baby!
They welcome the return of Jamaal Charles. They need their workhorse to deliver in the worst way.
The running back position is one that has a short shelf life.
He's a rarity. He has rarely come off the field in his career. He plays first down, second down, third down.
You're always expecting Jamaal to have a little less in that speed, have a little less in that breakaway. And somehow, some way, Jamaal is like a bionic man because he still looks the same as he did when he first got to Kansas City.
Charles has room, 35 on his feet, and gets up to the 41-yard line. How sweet it is to have him back in the lineup. Charles gets it up the middle, at midfield, at the 45, tries to get by the safety, and he wraps him up and takes him down. There's Jamaal Charles, and the shoulder seems to be fine.
There were adversities that the team had to battle, but Jamaal Charles was there almost every single game and was still the guy that really was the engine of this offense.
You expect him to be a guy that is tougher than a lot of people and a guy that can be the centerpiece of an offense that can hopefully lead a team to the playoffs.
When we return...
Go get him on the phone.
445.
We just want to know, you've had you come in and help the Kansas City Chiefs to a championship.
Welcome back to the show. BJ, as you watch the NFL draft on TV, a scene that you see a lot in the draft room is when a player is about to be drafted, he's usually seen on the cell phone. When we see that, who exactly is on the other line?
I'm not exactly sure. It's probably different for every team. It could be the owner. It could be the president, the general manager, the head coach. I hope it's not his college roommate calling to wish him luck because it's kind of an important time for him.
Clearly a lot of options. Right now, we're going to go back to Thursday when the Chiefs made their first round pick, calling from the draft room in Kansas City.
Moving forward, who do you think the Chiefs are going to take here? Wide receiver, they went and made Jeremy Macklin the apple of their free agency eye, but Mitchell.
We're on the clock, 10 minutes.
Okay. Can somebody go get Bob Sutton, Emmett? Everybody on board here?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
The boys are excited. Yes. Go get him on the phone.
4:45.
Turn it back.
Hey, Marcus. Hey, one second.
Hey, Marcus. John Dorsey. Let me. I got Coach Reed here, and I got the owner of Clark. Huh? We just want to know you've had you come in and help the Kansas City Chiefs to a championship. Okay. Okay, hold on a second here, real quick, because we're gonna pick you up here right now. Here's
I'd be very honest with you. I felt he was the best corner along with Dors. We came out saying that we would take him if the board told us by rank that he was the best player. So we look forward though to bringing him into a very strong locker room here, and again with great coaches to support him.
Are you at home in Oakland? Yeah, well, you're going to get a chance to play out there in front of your family.
Hey, this is Coach Sutton, the defensive coordinator at Kansas City. Doing great, man. Hey, congratulations. And, we're going to go, man. We got to come in and work hard and, get after it every day. That's our big deal here, come with a little grit and be tough-minded and... You know, that's what you do. We're looking for guys that compete every play, every day in practice, and you're our guy, okay? So we're excited about it, man, all right?
I think he has probably got the best ball skills of any defensive back in this draft. I think he's very physical and run support. He can instinctively turn and run and mirror routes with receivers. I just like the way he plays the game of football.
Thanks for joining us on the show. BJ, the past few weeks have been great with the build-up to the 2015 draft, but now that it's over and we know who some of the Chiefs rookies are going to be, what are some of the things they'll be going through now that they know they are Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, obviously, besides coming to Kansas City, getting a tour of the stadium and all the facilities, getting to know some of their teammates, the most important thing they've got to do is they've got to get into their playbooks. That's going to be the first thing that coaches do. Give them their playbooks. They've got the rookie minicamp that is coming up in the middle of May. It's May 16th to May 18th. We'll have you covered every step of the way on that. But the first impression these rookies can make on their veteran teammates is at that rookie minicamp in the middle of May. They can get in their playbook, understand it, and when they come in, impress some of those veterans with how much they already know.
Right, and it'll be even more impressive with Andy Reid because that's one of the toughest playbooks in the league to learn. As this all goes on, we're excited to continue to give you inside access as the team goes into their offseason program and approaches training camp up in St. Joseph. And as it all happens, be sure to follow us throughout the week on kccheese.com for exclusive interviews, features, and analysis. You can follow us on Twitter, at Chiefs Reporter, and at PG Sween. I'll be here once again next weekend breaking down the Chiefs' 2015 offseason. For BJ Kissel, I'm Pete Sweeney. Thanks for joining us on Chiefs Blueprint. We'll see you next week.